This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Coming up at 1:33 or so, Dave Wyman will drop by for his weekly visit. So we've got a lot to talk about. Seahawks not playing exactly the way everyone had hoped and expected in that game on Sunday night. So we'll talk to Dave Wyman about where they are. This was sad news to me, that Major League Baseball has proposed to sever ties with 42 minor league teams.
Why?
Including some in the Northwest, but the Everett, Aqua Sox, and Tacoma, they are not affected by this. But here's what's going on, and this is why I care about this story. So I told you that I went to that bogus broadcast school when I was 17.
Right.
And my goal was to be a baseball play-by-play announcer. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why not? And so I was talking to the teachers at this school. It's just all such a scam. But I crafted this plan that I was going to finish that school. I'd be 18 years old after the one-year program. And I was going to go to Northern California, where they have a bunch of little single-A minor league teams. And I was going to see if I could find a radio station. And during the day, I would say, I can't believe I thought about this. During the day, I would sell the commercial time to local businesses for the broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And then at night, I'd do the play-by-play.
Wow.
And that was my first dream in broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I laugh at that is because I cannot imagine that there would be a worse radio salesperson in the world than me.
Yeah.
I would hate that so much.
And that's because you don't actually like, I mean, I don't want to say you don't like interacting with people in person, but because you do, but but it would just be, you would have to be, you know, schmaltzy and, you know, maybe doing the big sell.
It would have taken me outside of my comfort
zone.
Yes,
exactly.
The people who are great at radio sales, and we have
great ones. Yeah.
We have some great ones here at Cairo, and we had one a few years ago who isn't here anymore. But I remember I was golfing with him once, and I was asking him about selling radio, and he said, "Dory, I am absolutely convinced this is what I was born to do," and I thought that's so odd to me because I would not enjoy it. But the guy I work with the most, with most of my sponsors, he is just thinking constantly. I get texts from him at 10 o'clock at night about what we can do to help our sponsor any way that we can, and he takes it very personally, their success.
Yeah.
And
what he doesn't tell you, that I think this is one of the hardest parts is that they hear the word no often. I mean, there's a lot of rejection.
Oh yeah,
you have to get turned down a bunch before you can turn something. But it's also about relationship building.
So anyway, I'm digressing a little bit here, but Major League Baseball has just proposed that they will cut 42 minor league teams here in the Northwest, the Tri-City Dust Devils in Pasco, the Salem Keyser. Is it Keyser?
Kaiser.
I knew I was saying it wrong. That's why I asked you. The Salem Kaiser Volcanoes in Oregon, they would get cut by their major league teams. And so what they're talking about eventually, because it's not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I knew.
But when was the last time you went to a minor league game?
It's been a long time.
Like 2 decades for me.
It's been a long time. I did one season of when they were the Everett Giants. I did one season of play-by-play. And was it Bob? Bob or Bill Bavese, who owned the team. One was the Mariners' general manager, who didn't have very much success. It was Bob Bavese. Anyway, he hired me. And he was tireless. He was up at 6 a.m. talking to Rotaries, you know, preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. He was shutting the ballpark lights off at 11 p.m., and it was just an all-consuming endeavor. And I don't know what kind of money they made, but it's a tough go. But now Major League Baseball is thinking that analytics are more important than young guys actually getting out and playing, that they should just have training facilities that'll teach launch angle and all these things that they, you know, have stressed, and that eventually they will just try to combine their AAA, AA, single A teams in one facility that has all these, you know, metric sensors that'll measure every aspect of the kids' games. And I was thinking, what a slice of Americana that would disappear with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that's affordable still.
It's the hub of towns in West Virginia and Nebraska, and you know, they go to the ball, and yet they have high school football and all that. But in the summertime, but Major League Baseball, 42 minor league teams could go away under this new proposal, and they're just admitting that they're starting to care more about analytics than just playing the game. And I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if that's a healthy thing. Okay, to the local stuff here in the Fastest 15. You weren't here yesterday, but I talked about this yesterday. The Seattle Public Library chief librarian sent out a message. His name is Marcellus Turner. And he let all their patrons know that they are very concerned about a group that has booked a public meeting space at the library on February 1st. Mm. And the group is called the Women's Liberation Front, or WOLF. And they are, I was looking at their mission statement. They're a radical feminist organization. Mm-hmm. And they say a lot of kind of anti-male things. That's all fine with the Seattle Public Libraries. But he said, we're going to consult with our trans employees and the city legal office to see if we can kick this group out. Because this Women's Liberation Front, they say we're about girls and women, and they are, you know, while they're anti-men, they're also anti-biological men who claim to be women. And I thought it was interesting because the fact that they're anti-men apparently is not a problem for the Seattle Libraries. They're not talking to their male employees about that. But the fact they're anti-trans, that's a problem for the libraries. So we sent them an email because I wanted to talk to the Seattle Libraries about this. Nicole wrote and asked if we'd get somebody to come on. And their media person said, "Thank you for your interest in the Seattle Public Library. The event you refer to is a private event, not a library event. You may wish to talk to the organizers if you are interested in the program." Well, we knew it was a private event, but the chief librarian sent out a message saying we're trying to kick them out. And Nicole said, "We understand it's a private event. We've reached out to them as well." And then their snarky response, "Please feel free to use the information from the message on the website. Thank you, Andra." It's interesting. Every time an issue comes up with the libraries, which are supposed to be bastions of free speech, they will never talk to us. Hmm. Never. King County Libraries won't talk about anything. We've covered so many stories with them. Seattle Public Libraries won't talk to us. This controversial group, they're coming on the show tomorrow to talk to us.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure, and, you know, like I said, I recognize they're an anti-male group. I don't care. They're a private organization.
Well, I don't think male historically... Being male historically has been a group that has faced discrimination community.
But it's not a bad thing to be a male.
No, absolutely not. But I don't think that it's not a protected class.
It's not. But in their mission statement, they say things that are very anti-male, and you know, about the patriarchal society and all of that. They're free people. I don't care if they think about that, but. Anyway, we will talk to them tomorrow about the effort by the city of Seattle to deny this group its First Amendment rights in a public government meeting space because anti-male is fine, but not embracing biological men into women's organization. That's what Seattle has a problem with. So we'll keep you posted on that, and we will talk to the group tomorrow. Next up in the Fastest 15, another story. Oh, we didn't even talk about it. How was your weekend? Since you weren't here yesterday.
Okay, so yeah, I went to Las Vegas, got there Friday night, came back last night.
So Nevada?
You're funny.
She made an investment in the city.
Did you?
I know. I should have. Yeah, not that big, but enough of an investment that it made for a really good trip. And we met some of our friends over there, too, and they made a good investment, too. So we all concluded that we should own a little part of the hotel.
Did you make any money?
Please.
So, but Ursula does it right because she might lose a little money,
yeah,
but she ends up taking advantage of the free stuff that you get for losing money,
yes,
which most people I don't think take advantage of because you think it's some scam. But so Ursula goes on multiple trips a year because of...
Well, you're a slot player.
Yes.
And they get the best perks.
Yes.
They do.
They get better perks than us table game players.
I know. I got three nights free at this particular hotel, which is my favorite. It's Palazzo.
And it's nice.
Yeah. And
wait, Palazzo is past Circus Circus is your favorite now?
You're funny.
Yeah.
I've been to Circus Circus one and
have you been
one time only.
Have you been next door to Slots O' Fun?
No.
You should try that sometime.
Oh, is that right?
That's right, Jason.
I know,
you've probably
got every single spot on the strip memorized. Like, what's next? What's next?
Yes,
like,
I could give you, if you gave me a map of the strip, I could fill out every single hotel on both sides.
Although I was there in April and there was new stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
This month.
I tell you.
It changes all the time.
Yeah, here's a word of warning. Because since so many of our listeners go to Vegas, too, they have so many scams. And there's this new one, you know, where you, or maybe it's not that new, you can tell me, but where these guys on the street, you know, ask people to put in money and then you figure out where the ball is under the cap.
Yeah. That's the oldest grift. It used to be so many versions of it. It used to be three-card Monty. Now it's a little foam ball under the cup.
I stopped a young man who was with his family from giving away. He'd already lost like a bunch. And then they were saying like, okay, go $1,500 now. I'm thinking, $1,500? And I was able to stop him. He was pulling off his watch.
What?
Yeah. Right? I mean, and the thing is, they create this feeling of, oh, there's this big group and people are either winning money or losing money. And I was yelling, and by the way, we've been scammed before. Mm-hmm. I was yelling, do not do this. Everyone who's in that group trying to make it look like they're either winning or losing money.
Yes.
You're looking really upset right now.
My blood's boiling. I have a story that I've never told on the show.
You were scammed?
I was not. My blood. I know what it is.
My blood's boiling too.
My blood is boiling. Okay, I'm with my wife and one of my daughters. We stop for my wife hates stopping for any kind of street performers. So we stop and we watch the cups and the foam ball for a few seconds. And they set it up because they do it. And then they, you know, ask one of the people who's standing around watching, which cup it's under? And the person watching says, yeah. And they go, how much? How much you got? $50?
Oh, no, they're doing $100.
$100, whatever.
Yeah, $100, you win $200. $200, you win $400.
And the guy says, yeah. And he's right. It was under cup number three because they're working together.
Exactly.
Obviously.
It's not that obvious. Let's put it this way.
Well, of all the people in the world, since I'm the most cynical human being in the world, my kids should be cynical. And they should, I've never told the story. This was many years ago, and I won't say which one of my kids. But so we watch for a minute. They see the person in the crowd win. She knew that it was under that cup, too.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, let's go. And I start walking down the strip so I can catch up with my wife, who had no interest in stopping. And my kid comes up and had just lost $100.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have much money at the time. Still does, you know.
So what did you end up
doing? I won it. The guy was bigger than me. He was younger than me.
And plus, there's a crowd. And there's like he's got people working
care.
With him.
I wanted to go back, and I wanted to just de-cleat him. I wanted to just fly and first of all, I would just scream, you know, give my kid her money back. But it was an honest deal. I mean, it's a scam.
Yeah, it's not an
But it's not honest. But
because as soon as they win, yeah.
My kid got scammed.
I'm sorry.
Fair and square. No, I'm sweating now. I get so angry. When you noticed my body language,
yes.
I had my arms folded every time I think about this. And I wanted to go back, and my wife and my daughter, each of them grabbed one of my arms, and my daughter's saying, "It's okay, Dad. It's okay, Dad. Let go." She goes, I learned yes. $100 lesson. I'll never do that again. And I wanted to go after this guy so bad.
Yes.
And then a couple hours later, we're walking back down the strip where that person was set up. And as we're getting close, my fists are balled up. I'm tensed up. I start walking faster than my wife and daughter. You know, Dad, don't do anything. And he was gone by then.
Ah.
But I wanted a piece of the guy.
Yeah.
And he would have kicked my butt. I mean, he was young and big and...
And had people working with him.
And had people working with him.
I mean, the only thing you can do, really, and this is what I did, was to just warn others. Because the kid was already pulling off his watch. I'm like,
I know. But
yeah, anyone going to Vegas?
What of my kids?
I know. But
of all the people in the world, I know every scam. And I said, oh, come on, let's go. And
they're excellent actors. And you think, oh my God, that's just so easy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be there if it didn't work on people.
Honest to goodness, though, I can't believe the cops let that go.
Oh, no.
When tourism is everything in that city, and they let these grifters, but again, let the buyer beware. Oh, I'm worked up right now. I'm all sweaty and muscles are all tense.
We didn't even get to any of our stories.
I know, it's because Ursula brought up the 3-cup game.
Can we do the Peloton one really quick?
No. We'll do it. I'll do it right before the big lead at 2. How about
that?
Maybe
we can do it with Dave.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, all right, there you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Dave Wyman will drop in for his weekly visit live coming up next.
Dead Mile 5.
UB40.
That's right, UB correct, Dory.
I knew there was a number in there.
Yes, you did, Dave
just like
Wyman.
Deadmau5.
So your daughter thought you were uncool when you called Deadmau5.
Okay? It's not an S. Yeah. It's a 5.
Fair point. It's a fair point, Dave Wyman.
He's Canadian.
Who's with us this afternoon, as he is every Tuesday. Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Still a little surprised by what I saw Sunday night with our Seahawks. What was it like being down there and calling the game? And because you sounded like you were full of childlike optimism for that game.
Yeah, it sucked. Terrible. Yeah, I thought they were going to blow them away. You know, here's the thing that you have to do with the Rams is you have to punch them in the mouth. And you know who did that? The Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about to do a little football 101 thing for my weekly installment. But if you go back and look at the Super Bowl from last year, there was a play I thought that dictated almost the entire game where they tried to bring one of those guys across the formation in motion and then get him out into the flat, you know, running out there. And one of the outside linebackers from the Patriots just blasted him, knocked him on his butt. And so, you know, there's Jared Goff running around wondering which side of the earth the sun rises on and doesn't know where to go, so he ends up throwing it out of bounds. So, yeah, I mean, that's really what you have to do. They didn't get that done. So it's weird. You look at the last time they faced the Rams, they put up 455 on them. This time it was 477 yards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just it's frustrating.
During the pregame show, because Paul Moyer doesn't like Woods, their wide receivers, Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul doesn't like him. And Paul in the pregame was saying, not only because he's mouthy, but for everything you just said, Paul was hoping that somebody would knock him out.
Yeah.
And I said, figuratively, right? And he goes, no, sleepy time.
Just like Paul Moyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I saw Paul Moyer snoring on the... I was the first man on the scene. I was the first responder to Paul Moyer when he got knocked out.
And he was snoring.
He was snoring.
Within seconds?
Yeah.
Within 2
Probably
seconds.
Before he hit the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't be joking about
no,
that.
No, no, because head injuries are very serious.
Oh, sure they are. Yeah. We've got to be very sensitive about that. It's football. You get hit in the head. You sign up for it. But I was talking to Paul before the game. We both thought, you know, I thought that they were going to possibly blow him out. Paul, I know, thought the same thing. I think his prediction was like 36-17 or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I felt like they're kind of a finesse team. And Goff, he may not statistically be the worst quarterback when you get pressure on him, but he's the worst one I've seen. And they didn't really get to him until the second half.
So what does this tell us? Because you got four teams now that are either 10-3 or 11-2 in the conference. You got New Orleans, Green Bay, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. Where are the Seahawks in that quartet?
Well, it's a good question. I think by far, and this is painful to say, the 49ers are the best team. I think they're the best team in the league. I mean, they played Baltimore really well. And, you know,
I think only two losses are to Baltimore and
us
by 3 points each.
Right.
They've blown out some really good teams.
Yeah.
It's
depressing.
Yeah. So if it all comes down to the last game, winner is the number one seed in the NFC. You know, here, probably Sunday night. They'll probably flex it to primetime.
Yeah.
49ers at Seahawks, primetime Sunday night. Winner is the number one seed in the NFC. Every game has to go through Seattle if you want to get to the Super Bowl. And every time the Seahawks have ever been a number one seed, they've gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Loser becomes a 5 seed. Every game is on the road.
Right.
You think San Francisco is going to win that one?
Against the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think the Seahawks can get them. You know, but Garoppolo's another one that if you get near him, I think he becomes a lot less passer. Yeah, so they'd be 13-3, and so would the Saints be 13-3, and somehow the Seahawks win that head-to-head because it's a round-robin type of deal.
Yes, it's the records against the two other opponents, and so Seattle would have swept. I'm getting too much into the minutiae.
Yeah.
We'd be 2-0 against San Francisco, 0-1 against New Orleans. We'd be 2-1 against those two opponents. New Orleans and San Francisco would have worse records against us. So
even though we lost the head-to-head with New Orleans. That's where I get...
Correct.
Yeah, where people got, you know, confused, including me.
We're all confused.
Yes.
Because of those head injury things we were talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't hit people in the head in football. No, you know what? I think that when it comes down to that game, I think this team will win it. They're just the scrappier team. But, you know, this is always sort of justification, but... You know, you could make the case, and I've heard a few people around the franchise, some people that have been around this team for a long time that are like, you know, you probably had to stumble, and they had the luxury to stumble because they faced the Niners at the end.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it sort of wakes them up and says, you know, to them, hey, look, you got to go out and play hard, and you're not, you know, it'll get them fired up maybe for the rest of the way. Look, they should beat Carolina.
It has to because, yeah, they – I was surprised. Seahawks are favored. Carolina's 5-8. Seahawks are only 3.5-point favorites. Mm. And every time a line looks like it's too low, it's, you know, a trap.
Yeah.
So it looks like they should go into Charlotte on Sunday and just blow them out.
Yeah. But it might come down to the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And there's no margin of error anymore for the Seahawks. That's the other thing. That even though they can withstand having lost on Sunday night, now they have no margin of error. They cannot stumble against Carolina or Arizona,
right?
Or else their hopes of winning the division are gone.
Yeah, and they should. They should take care of those teams, but you know we'll see how they respond. And they've been so good on the road. I mean, they get a chance to go 7-1 this year. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's take a quick time out. We've got a lot of our stuff to talk with Dave. Oh, I know this.
Gloria Gaynor. No. Yeah, I know this.
Is this Diana Ross?
It is Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Yeah. Okay. You got a lot more to do. You got two more songs to catch up here, Dave.
All right.
Okay. Dave Wyman is with us, and we will continue our conversation in just a moment on the Dory Monson Show.
Instinctively, you give to me the love that I need. I cherish the moments with you. Respectfully, I say to thee, I'm aware that you're cheating. When no one makes me feel like you do.
Come on, feel the noise.
Quiet Riot. You got it, Dave.
No, I was late.
Why are you giving that to Dave?
What, you said it first?
Yeah, you did.
You said it very quietly.
Yeah.
Without any riot.
Riotously. It was riotously.
Quietly
hilarious.
Riotous.
Dave Wyman is with us. You can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7 on his show on 710 ESPN. Yeah, I can never remember the name of it. No, hold on. I got it. Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Moore.
Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Yeah, it goes alphabetically.
Okay.
Just remember that.
Why? Did you make a stink about that?
What?
But I mean, I would think that a man of your stature would have wanted, nay, demanded, top billing.
Why? Oh, because I'm in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even know the name of our show half the time. I called it Danny, Dave, and Moore when I was hosting it the other day. So.
But I just think this is where I feel like I can help you professionally.
Want to be my agent?
Yeah, and I won't charge you any commission.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just be your I'll be your guy, but I'll be your muse. I'll be the little angel and devil that sits on your shoulder. Because I don't think you ever want to rock the boat.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to rock the boat a little, Dave.
You know what job I want? Hmm. I want to replace Terry Bradshaw on the Fox pregame.
I can't make that happen.
Really?
You know who might be able to? Brock's got some pull at the Fox
Network. Brock Heward.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can see if he could help you out with that. I just saw this. Our great new promotional guy, Darren, he just sent me a list from ESPN of the 150 greatest college football coaches. Where have you seen this yet?
No.
Where do you think Pete Carroll belongs? Before I tell you where he is, where do you think Pete Carroll belongs on the list of the 150 greatest college football coaches of all time?
Top five.
This surprised the heck out of me. Number 37.
What? Yeah, you know.
I said number 37.
What? Yeah, I. He had a streak there of what was it, 37 games, 38 games. And if you go backwards, there was like two or three. I think there's two overtime games mm-hmm. that he lost, one to Wazoo, one to Cal. And if you go, you know, if they win those, it's like the streak is like 50, 54 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't understand how he could be number 37.
His Trojans were ranked number one in the AP poll for 33 consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Ridiculous. What? So who's number one? Newt Rockne?
Well, before I get to number one, I'll tell you who I was very pleasantly surprised to see on the list at number 39.
Don James?
No. Don James is a bit of a mentor of mine, but a guy who became a very good friend of mine in the last years of his life, Frosty Western.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's very cool that ESPN would put the PLU coach, you know, which is D3 or NAIA, I'm not even sure, but
yeah.
But that they'd put him as the 39th greatest college football coach of all time.
That's pretty awesome.
Did you get to know him at all?
No.
Just one of, I mean, if you look at my desk, I've got all his motivational brass plaques
yeah.
on my desk. And he was just, and he was one of the guys that I tried to emulate as a coach myself because he did these things. I did this with my girls. I ever tell you about the Attaways? PLU would play a game down in Oregon somewhere, you know, Western Oregon. And they're coming back on the bus, and all of a sudden, 70 huge guys lumber off these buses into a McDonald's. And the McDonald's workers, their shoulders just slumped because they got to fix all this food now, you know, out of the way place. And Frosty would have them do attaways. and just be, hey, McDonald workers. And it was call and response. And 70 guys, hey, McDonald workers. Thanks, McDonald workers. Thanks, McDonald workers. Attaway, attaway. And they would just lift these kids who were working behind the counter up. And I just thought it was so cool to bring guys. When the power was out, he'd order the football team to show up at the dorms on the weekend, on move-in weekend at PLU. And the football players had to drop whatever they were doing, and they had to carry the freshmen's stuff up, you know, six stories up the stairs to their rooms. And it was just the kind of things that the coaches should do at that level.
Yeah.
The kind of values you should teach.
About serving others, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And about building people who are much bigger than just football players.
Yeah, I wish I had played for Pete Carroll. I think that would have been really fun.
I bet it would be.
Yeah. He just does such a good job. And, you know, you see Russell and how he is, you know, same way, just always positive. And did you ask Pete, by the way, about that? Remember we talked about that last week?
Yeah, I did. I wrote it down, you remember?
Yep.
And the question was, because he and Russell, if you look at their transcripts and didn't have a name at the top, the way they talk is virtually indistinguishable from the other. And I said, has Russell become more like you, or have you become more like Russell? And he said, no, Russell came to us that way. And Russell came to us just living, he said, because of his dad and the values his dad taught him, that Russell just came with the values that Pete had tried to live for, you know, ever since he figured out things after he, you know, kind of washed out his first two times in the NFL. But then Pete figured out what he wanted to be. And I said, so was it just serendipity that this guy you drafted is your clone? Mm. And he said, you know, we probably have, you know, learned a little bit from each other. But he thinks that Russell just came that way, and that's the way he's always tried to be.
Oh, this is, the boys are back in town.
Oh.
Not with this song.
Not Kiss, is it?
No.
Well, I know who did The Boys Are Back in Town.
You do? Who?
Wasn't it Thin Lizzy?
Yeah, who this song is, Jailbreak by Thin Lizzy. Dave, I'm throwing you bones today. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm half asleep.
Don't ask to see the texts.
Oh, I know. I have people coming up all the time because of this show. Like, are you really that bad? Boy, you suck. You sure are terrible.
I have people who say that they would smoke both of us every single time.
Sure they would.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's easy sitting in your car.
That's right. You try getting under these hot lights.
Oh, man, there's so much pressure. People looking at us from inside the booth. Sean judging.
You can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, on Bob, Dave, and More, and on the Seahawks broadcast this Sunday from Charlotte. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, lots more straight ahead. Dory Monson Show.